Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:17 p.m. the Pacific Summer Time, and today is September 25th. Well, Wall Street was in mildly negative territory in here today, but certainly not in, there's been a distinct absence of downward dynamics, and it continues to hold this progression of higher reaction lows and also the move above the peak we saw back in January. So this, in the absence of a very clear break, is a resumption of the medium-term uptrend. Well, the Nasdaq was getting plenty of news coverage in here today, but finished in positive territory. Facebook has parted ways with the founders of Instagram, and the share was well in mildly negative territory, but it does seem to have paused here above the low we saw earlier this year. And I continue to think that the most likely scenario for Facebook is for ranging rather than topping activity. That I think much of the reason that it pulled back was self-inflicted. At some stage it is going to get over this self-flagellation and just get back to making money. But it will certainly need to hold the $150 area if that prognosis is going to be credible. Well, when we then look at what's going on in Asia, because the A-share market was closed yesterday, it was open today, and it was in mildly negative territory, but the more important thing is that it has held just about all the events put in on Friday. Then if we look at the banking sector in China, it had broken out pretty emphatically last week, and it is now right in the region of the trend mean. It was also a little bit softer in here today. This is a natural area where we might anticipate some resistance and some pause and consolidation. The big question now is how much of that advance is it going to hold? Is it going to be able to continue to put in this progression of higher reaction lows and hold the 13,000 level? If it can do that, then we can start to think about recovery potential. If indeed it fails, well, that would seriously not be particularly good news for the Chinese stock market. Well, the H share index in Hong Kong was a little bit softer. It has yet to push above the 11,000 level on a sustained basis. It's been ranging below, mostly below that level for the last few months, and that's helped to unwind the oversold condition relative to the trend mean. So in the absence of a clear sustained break above 11,000, we would have to conclude that this is still distribution. It really does need to break that sequence of lower rally highs to really confirm a return to demand dominance. Well, India has also been in the headlines, and the rupee remains weak. Well, the Nifty today was a little bit firmer, and the Bombay Banks Index, which has been leading on the downside, was also in positive territory. So we're starting to see at least some evidence of some bargain hunting coming through. And Yes Bank was in the news today because they are applying for at least a temporary extension of their CEO's tenure as the leader of the bank. But Axis Bank, which was also one of the bigger decliners over the last few days, was in positive territory. And then it's probably also worth taking a look at, for example, State Bank of India, because the focus of the contraction in banking shares has been on the privately held banks. Well, State Bank of India is very much government-owned, and there's a big question whether the RBI is capable of instituting the same kind of stringent reforms that have been imposed upon the private sector on the state-owned sector. One would, I think, have to consider that a privately held bank may have somewhat better lending rules than a state-owned one that is run by bureaucrats and has the backing of the government in the event that they don't toe the line. So what happens with the state banks, I think, is probably also going to give us at least some insight into just how aggressive the RBI is willing to be with the banking sector and the bad loans that remain outstanding. If we stick with Asia for the moment, the Indonesian rupiah has not really been able to rally. And so far, it continues to extend its decline. That's the dollar continuing to trend higher against it. The rupee has also been trending higher. And so far, there is not a great deal of evidence to suggest that, excuse me, the dollar has been trending higher against the rupee. There's no real evidence to suggest that that process is over. Well, this is it's still an environment where emerging market currencies are under pressure. The Ghana cedi was making headlines today as well. It's pushing on to new lows, and this is still an environment where the dollar is trending higher. The Nigerian naira, where obviously there's going to be a significant influence on oil prices, has been very range bound over the course of the last 18 months. So the question now is, will that be able to be sustained, considering the fact that the stock market has been pulling back in a rather violent manner over the course of the last few months? It's showing just very nascent signs of having found support. But again, this is another index where there is a rivetingly consistent progression of lower rally highs. And despite the fact that we have the short-term oversold condition, it's got a lot of work to do to really make up the or to make up for the decline that's already occurred, to push back above the trend mean, or at the very least put in higher reaction lows to demonstrate that somebody is willing to pay somewhat more for it when it pulls back. So I think it would be an understatement to say that the trouble in emerging markets has been averted entirely. But that doesn't mean that all emerging markets need to be painted with the same brush. The Thai market has been a center for stability over the last while, and it has pushed above the trend mean. The Thai baht has also strengthened through its 200-day moving average. Well, it hasn't improved upon that performance this week, but it's one of the steadier currencies in the region. Then the Vietnamese stock market index continues to just steadily advance, and it is also above its trend mean. So these are Thailand and Vietnam are among the markets that have been most stable, whereas it's those that generally represent the bigger weightings within the emerging markets index have come under the most pressure. Well, China and India are certainly in that category, and so is Brazil. So the Brazilian market has stabilized in here over the last couple of days. And a good part of the reason for that is because of the uptick in interest for both oil and the industrial resources. So Brent crude broke out to new highs, a new recovery highs yesterday, and it held the advance in here today, although not all of the advance intraday. So we may get some consolidation in the region of the upper side of this range, but this remains a bull market environment generally, and it has posted two reactions of approximately $10 this year and has just broken on the upside. So, as long as it is sustaining the breakout and continuing to rally, this is still a generally bullish environment, which should be beneficial for oil exporting countries. Then, copper prices being, I think, just representative of the outlook for the industrial resources have closed the overextension relative to the trend mean, and they've paused over the last couple of days, but certainly nothing in the way of downward dynamics to really confirm anything other than a pause. And I suspect that this is just a simple unwinding of the, or perhaps the best way of thinking about it is that we've had some short covering. Now it is for the bulls to prove that copper prices can hold this breakout from the range and to really demonstrate a return to demand dominance. What I find interesting is if we look at markets that had trended lower in a very rhythmic and consistent manner from June, copper is the one that has bounced most and has demonstrated a clear change to the environment. Platinum prices have bounced a little bit less and they were somewhat weaker in here today, but they have now triggered what would have been a midpoint danger line stop in that progression of steps one below another. And now the question is whether that $800 area, having been an area of support in July, resistance in August, will now turn back into being an area of support. Silver prices were in mildly positive territory in here today, up 15 cents. This is the biggest rally that we've had since the middle of August, and they're now testing the lower side of that overhead trading range. So if copper, then platinum, then silver are in varying degrees of having broken their respective downtrend, silver has yet to push above the $14.75 area, which would trigger a midpoint danger line stop and really signal an inconsistency from the perspective of this very consistent downtrend since June. But there is the possibility that it will be able to do that. Then we have gold. Well, gold prices have been locked in a very tight range around $1,200 for the last month. Well, ranges are explosions waiting to happen, and that also generally means that when it breaks out, it is going to be surprising for anyone who has been lulled into the false sense of security that the 1 month range has provided. But with the I think return of interest in the industrial resources, particularly if the Chinese market continues to stabilize, well, that should help to reinvigorate some interest in the gold price. Well, I think there is something that's also worth considering. If we look at the gold price over the last, say, 5 years, but then convert it into renminbi, well, there's much less volatility. That's certainly been the case since the peak in August, but there's a very clear progression of lower rally highs. And if it can break that sequence, well, then that will be a bull market indicator from the perspective of Chinese investors. And of course, China is a major importer of it's not just an importer, it's also the biggest producer of gold. Then, if we look at it in terms of the rupee, well, obviously the rupee has been quite weak, and it has been largely range bound since 2016. So, at the 90,000 to 90,000 rupee level for gold is an important Rubicon for the gold price in rupee. I think perhaps if we look at more data, then we can see that 90,000 rupee has been an area of resistance for quite a few years. And if it can sustain a move above 90, well, then that will, I think, be a catalyst for increased demand by Indian consumers. So while we tend to think about gold in terms of a single currency, it does tend to do better when it is appreciating in all currencies. And it's approaching rather interesting levels for two of the biggest markets for the metals. So I do think that the precious metals and indeed the industrial resources are more interesting at this present time because they have already had big declines. And when we think about what's going on in the stock markets, well, Wall Street has been rallying very impressively, but the emerging markets are very much a mixed bag. They really do need to be appreciated for their individual merits. Well, if we go back and look at some of the emerging markets, the one that has been hitting headlines most regularly over the last few months has been Argentina. The central banker quit in here today, and the dollar got up to test that 40 level, but it didn't quite hold it. And it does look increasingly likely that they are going to get some additional investment from the IMF. So that has been a rather bullish catalyst for the stock market, and it broke its progression of lower rally highs. It's back testing its peak, and it does look like it's going to do better from here. Well, if we look at an ETF for Argentina, then it collapsed with the currency, but that was a big upward dynamic that we saw last week, and now it is pressuring that sequence of lower rally highs and upside follow through. this week would, I think, begin to pressure the downtrend and certainly open up the further possibility that we're going to see a reversion back up towards the mean and potentially even better than that. So certainly we're seeing some of the some bargain hunting start to come into some of the most oversold markets. Then the Turkish lira has so far been able to hold the 7 level. There's been a lot of commentary about just how much money Turkey is going to require in order to balance the books, and that does suggest that they're going to need some form of assistance from somewhere. Quite whether Erdogan can bring himself to abide by an IMF bailout is very much open to question. But the lira does have a higher reaction low, and it is now pressuring the 6 level. Well, considering that there is no real roadmap for what the recovery scenario is going to be, then we may be in for some additional ranging, but at least it has stopped accelerating lower. And then if we look at, for example, an ETF for the Turkish market, well, we've had a very large decline already, and then it has already halved this year. So it's right in the region of the lows seen back in 2008, and at least it has stabilized. So there is a realistic possibility that we could get a reversionary rally, even if this is still a rather dire situation in terms of the debt that the country has outstanding. Well, Europe was a bit of a mixed bag in here today, but perhaps the biggest mover was Italy, and the FTSE MIB has been able to push back up towards the trend mean. So now it's pressuring the sequence of lower rally highs. If it can push back above this level, well, that will be, I think, rather supportive of the recovery scenario. Well, Italian bond yields have stabilized, but they have not come back down below 2.5%. And I think it is rather unlikely that they are going to come back below 2.5%. This continues to look like a first step above the base. So while the populist administration has in many respects been brought to heel and has been co-opted by the status quo, there is the possibility, and the chart suggests that if this is indeed a first step above the base and the break above 2.5% continues to hold, that the potential for volatility in future has to be given the benefit of the doubt. Well, the US Federal Reserve is going to be raising rates tomorrow, and US 10-year Treasury yields are continuing to hold this move up to the highs that we saw earlier this year. A real clear downward dynamic would be required to signal that support is coming back in for Treasury prices. But the reality is that there is an enormous amount of additional supply that's coming into the market, and quite whether there is the appetite to absorb it is a rather large question. Well, part of the reason that the Treasury market has been range-bound has been because the dollar strength over the first part of this year has aided demand for US denominated assets and the yield differential that the US Treasury market has been able to provide. So the ability of the dollar to continue to hold this region of the trend mean is going to be, I think, a big arbiter on the demand cycle for US Treasuries. If the dollar breaks down, well, I suspect that Treasuries will also do the same. But so far, the dollar has held the region of the trend mean against the euro, and the euro does represent the biggest weighting in the dollar index. So if the euro can sustain a move above the trend mean, well, then we would have to start to consider that it's back in a recovery scenario. Well, that's going to weigh on the stocks of the major exporters. Germany is obviously one of the biggest exporters in the Eurozone, and it is coming back up to pressure this $12,500 level on the DAX. but it really does need to sustain a move above that level to really confirm that this is a return to demand dominance beyond simply the short term. Well, when we look at the oil price, quite what happens from here is going to be a major influence on Europe as a significant importer. But I think it's also worth considering that Brent crude at $80 and West Texas Intermediate at 72, that is reasonably high prices. And generally speaking, its high prices have tend to be a tailwind for relatively expensive sources of energy. Well, the solar ETF continues to trend lower, and it's been a rather disastrous investment simply because the market has been flooded by cheap supply coming out of China. Another source of more expensive oil would be the deep water drillers. So Transocean has been basing now for over 2.5 years, and it is coming back up towards the upper side of this range right now. So the higher oil prices go, the more likely it is that the economics of deep water drilling is are and indeed any kind of offshore drilling is going to become more appealing for energy companies. And that's also a consideration for the tar sands in Canada. And Suncor is back in the region of the trend mean, and if it can hold this level around the $50 area, well, then we're probably going to be talking about this being a first step above the base. It is interesting that other energy producers like BP, having come back to the region of the trend mean, have bounced pretty emphatically from it. And this does suggest that this range is a first step above the 7-year base formation. So I think when people look at the energy sector, it has been out in the cold now for much of the last year, but if oil prices continue to hold the move above $80, then there's a distinct argument for a return to profitability for a significant number of these companies. So I think I think a point that we could see a return to performance by the energy sector and indeed in the resources sector. Well, the Australian market has been feebly attempting to rally over most of this month, and so far it hasn't been particularly impressive on the upside. So it really does need to hold the sequence of higher reaction lows and the region of the trend mean. But anyone who looks at the trend over the course of the last decade will see plenty of volatility. The Australian market has been able to rally, but it's done so in a pretty inconsistent manner, which makes the technical reading of the chart more difficult simply because it is less consistent. Therefore, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that it could pull back below the trend mean and still bounce. And what happens with, well, I think it is worth looking at the groups within the just trying to type and think at the same time for the ticker. It's the grouped ranked returns. And we can see that it's healthcare, which represents a comparatively small part of the index, and information technology has also done very well. But the materials and the industrials have been in the hinterland in terms of performance. And then you have the financials, which are by far the largest sector. So that's a and they no longer give us the group's information, but the weighting of the banks in the Australian market is rather significant. When we look at the performance of that financials index, it is below the trend mean. Now, the big question is whether this pullback towards the 6,000 level is a higher reaction low. If it is, well, then we can start to think about the potential for bargain hunting in the banking sector in Australia, but it may be a little bit early to draw that conclusion. Whereas the resources sector has got really quite clear uptrend characteristics, and it's been doing not much of anything for just about all of this year, but this has been a pretty emphatic advance. And what it suggests is that the potential here is that the resources sector is going to take up a position of outperformance through the balance of this year. And that's, I think, not just true of Australia, but also of the FTSE 350 mining index for the UK. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.